Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. And if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I'd like to encourage you tomorrow, our brother in Christ, Glenn Shirley, he's a prisoner out at James Crabtree, is going up for parole. And we're really hoping that he makes parole this time. And this only gets him off of the first sentence. And then he'll be paroled to a 25-year sentence. So he's doing a 75-year sentence right now. And he's got 28 years in on that. And a level four gets 75 days a week, or 75 days a month. So he's almost satisfied the 75-year sentence. He's about 2 years away from completely finishing that sentence. So anyway, if you remember Glenn Shirley, he's going up for parole at about 11:40 on Monday. So we're in a series on 1 John. 1 John is a great, great New Testament book. It's so easy to understand. And so we're going to ask a question today, and the question is this: how can I live forever? Now, if you were to ask me that question, I can answer that question a couple of different ways. One way I would answer that is I would say to you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. It's what the Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer. But then if you remember, the Philippian jailer was told, Paul later taught the Philippian jailer and all who were in his house the way of the Lord. And so becoming a Christian is just the beginning. And then you have a life to live, the Christian life. And so John gives us three admonitions to help us so that we know without a shadow of a doubt we will live forever. And so first of all, if we're going to live forever, the first admonition that John gives is in verse 15. John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And so John is very emphatic here when he says, love not the world. The Greek there is me agapete ton kosmon. And so it's very emphatic. Do not love the world. Now, it's important that we figure out what John's talking about, because what does he mean by the term world? What does that term mean? And so we find when we look at the New Testament, that word has a multitude of meanings. For example, it can be a reference to the created world of Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And it also could be the inhabited world. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Jesus didn't die for trees and rivers and mountains and oceans, right? He died for people, and so it's the inhabited earth. It also could be the Gentile world Paul refers to. Believe it or not, in a 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, where it talks about a woman adorning themselves. I just want to say a different word. Adorning themselves. That word adorn, that word is the word cosmos. Think about that. Cosmos, and that's where the word cosmetics comes from. And so it is referring to an orderly system. And so when a woman puts on cosmetics, they don't just slap it all on, right? You put foundation, and then you start applying other things. So it's a very organized system. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about this system that is under Satan's control. The system which lures us away from God by appealing to the cravings of our bodies, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so Satan uses this world system to lure us away from God. He wants us to divert our love, our affection from God and place it on the things of this world's system. That's what Satan is up to. And so it's important that we understand that love is only for God and people. Love is not for stuff. Love is not for things. Love is not for this world's system. Love is for God and people and nothing else. It's important that we understand this, that we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Because Satan is going to come at you, and he's going to do everything in his power to get you to fall out of love with God. And we see this in the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Jesus commended this church for many good things. I mean, they were going and doing and serving. However, Jesus says, but you have left your first love. And so the church had literally fallen out of love with Jesus. This is a big deal. It's a big deal because the church at Ephesus, after about 50 years or so, died out. It died out. So this is no minor problem with the church. This is a huge deal. The church does not love God the way that they should. And so it's important we understand. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. And so there's not enough room in your heart for God in this world system. There's not enough room. We have to make a choice. Either we're going to love God or we're going to love the world. But you can't do both. It's impossible to do both. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul says that we are to seek the things which are above, not the things that are of the earth. We are to seek the things above. Our passion should be for God and the things of God. And so Satan is going to work very, very hard to contaminate your heart, to put other things in there, to replace the love of God with the love of things and stuff. And Paul and John wants us to know, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. These are the same devices that took our first parents down in the Garden of Eden. If you remember Eve, she saw the tree that it was good for food and a tree desirable to make one wise, and she took of that fruit and ate and gave to her husband, and he also ate. And so Satan deceived Eve into eating of the forbidden fruit. We have this in Joshua chapter 7, when Achan makes a confession of his sin. He says, when I saw the spoils of a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and I took them. And so that's what Satan is going to do. He is going to use the things of this world to cause you to fall out of love with God and to fall in love with the world. In other words, you're going to become worldly. We talk about worldly Christians or worldly believers. That's what we're talking about. Worldliness creeps in little by little by little. And so it's a very subtle thing. It doesn't just hit you at one time. If it did, we could guard ourselves against that. But it very subtly creeps in your life. And you accept this and you accept that. And little by little by little, Satan is moving you away from God. He's very crafty in what he does, and he knows what he's doing, and he's had thousands of years to work with human beings. He knows your weaknesses, he knows your strong points, and he's going to come out against you. He wants you to become conformed to this world. But Christians are encouraged not to put their tent pegs too deep in this world. And so you're not living for this world. And so don't put your tent pegs too deep here, because you're going to be disappointed if you do. This world system is organized and it's opposed to God and the things of God. And this world system has principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And Satan uses all of that to attack you, to try to get you to no longer love God and to love the things of this world. James says in James chapter 4, verse 4, listen what James says. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself the enemy of God. And so it's crystal clear. I mean, it's black or white, up or down, east or west. Your heart is only big enough for God. It's not big enough for the world and God. And so we have to make a choice whether we're going to love the world and live for that, or we're going to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so John lets us know, if you want to live forever, you can't allow your heart to love this world. Because if you do, it's going to pull you right away from God. Because the world's opposed to God. It's not the friend of God. We saw that in James 4 and verse 4. The world is the enemy of God. We're talking about this world system that is under Satan's control. When Paul would say, he is the God of this world. All right? That world system, that's what we're talking about. And so John says, do not love the world. But John would go on to tell us, number two, keep in mind that this world is passing. He says in verse 17, and the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So it's so vital that we understand that this world is temporary. And many, many are living for a world that will soon pass away. And if you doubt this truth, I encourage you to do this simple exercise. Go down to the city dump, observe the mounds of rotting garbage, and see what others have discarded. Many of the things that you've worked so hard to acquire, and then watch them burn. And then allow that stench to go into your nose and get a good whiff and a good smell, because that is the future of the world. That is the future of this world. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And so this whole universe one day is going to go up in a big blaze. It's all going to be consumed. It's all going to pass away, we are told. And so you think about many of the major civilizations that have come on the scene and have since passed away. Whether you're talking about Egyptians, or you're talking about the Babylonian Empire, or the Assyrian Empire, or the Grecian Empire, or the Roman Empire, or any other empire that has ever existed anywhere on planet Earth, where are they? They have passed away. You see, this world system is passing away. It's not going to remain forever. And let me tell you, America will also pass away one day. I know we think there's no way America could pass away. If America keeps on the course that America's on, America will pass away, just like the Roman Empire did, like the Grecian Empire did, the Assyrian Empire did, the Babylonian Empire, and every other empire that has ever existed. America is not Almighty God. America is a great nation. And she's not as great as she used to be, but she's certainly greater than many of the nations of the world. But America is simply losing its way. And America will make you become worldly if you allow it to. You can't allow that to happen. recognize that this system is passing away. Immorality will pass away. Drugs and alcohol will pass away. Sports and Hollywood will pass away. All of this one day will pass away. And so just keep that in mind. Because if you know that this is passing, you're not going to get too attached. Because you know you're going to lose it someday. So you hold it very loosely because you know it's not permanent. It is passing away. John said it's all going to pass away. But then number three, John tells us, if we want to live forever, we need to do the will of God. He says, but whoever, verse 17, does the will of God abides forever. You know, Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but they who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. So it's important that we do the will of God. Now, when it comes to the will of God, the great thing is we don't have to scratch our head and, wondering what is God's will, because we have God's will right here. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove whether it's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we can understand the will of God through the New Testament. And we have seen just in a short series we've done so far in 1 John, we've observed several things when it comes to God's will. For example, it's God's will that we walk in the light as He's in the light. It is God's will that each one of us takes on the nature of God in daily living. That's God's will. And so we should be trying to take on His nature, not being conformed to the world. But listen, if you're not actively trying to take on God's nature, you are being conformed to the world. One or the other is happening. Either you're actively working to allow yourself to take on the nature of God, or you're going to be conformed to this world. One or the other is going to happen in your life. It's God's will that we keep His commandments, right? And so 1 John's very clear. If you love God, you will keep His commandments. It's God's will that we imitate the life of Jesus. It's God's will that we live like Jesus, that we develop the heart and mind of Jesus. That's what God wants. And all of us should be striving to attain His heart, His mind. It's God's will that we love one another. And John would tell us that if we don't love one another, then we don't know God. Because if you don't love your brother, John says you're a murderer. So it's God's will that we love one another. It's God's will that we love God first and foremost, right? It's the greatest commandment of all. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so as we read the New Testament, we are confronted with the will of God. We know what God wills for our life. We know what God wills when it comes to how we should act as husbands or wives or citizens. And so in Scripture, we're given clear instruction on the will of God. And John says, those who do the will of God abides forever. And so how can a person live forever? Well, number one, don't love the world, right? Don't allow your heart to get contaminated, because if Satan contaminates your heart, then your heart's going to become impure, and you're going to love this world, and you're going to continue to go in that direction, and you're going to be a worldly believer. Secondly, keep in mind that this world system is passing away. Nothing we see, nothing physical will last. It's all going to burn up one day. And so keep that in mind lest you put too much stock in the future, because there's no future in this world. And then third, do the will of God. And as I said, there's no puzzle here. We simply open up the Word, read it, and live it, because that's God's will. Whatever page you land on, you're going to land on the will of God. And it's going to talk about your Christian walk in some capacity. But John's very clear. Do these three things, you will live forever. And this morning, if we have any who've never obeyed the gospel, and that is primary, Jesus says in John 8, verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And so you need to come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that He's the Savior of the world, that He died on the cross, He paid the debt of your sins in full, and by you accepting Him as Lord and Savior, your sin debt is canceled out. And so if you've never obeyed the gospel, we would encourage you this morning to do that. And we're going to sing a song, and we're going to, as we sing the song, it's to encourage you to respond, to come forward. If you need to respond to obey the gospel, or you just want prayer, or whatever it is, whatever your need is, you make it known as we stand and sing.